I thought as we were singing so wonderfully, what a wonderful, everybody will be happy over there. Everybody, what singing. We had wonderful singing here tonight. But can you imagine what the singing is going to be like in heaven? What singing. Praise God. You know, we all of us have been touched with sin, and as all of our lives, our voices, nothing is as good as it's going to be. Nothing is perfect here. There's some great music, and this was wonderful singing tonight. But what singing, what praise, what worship, with the choirs of angels singing and the redeemed singing songs that no angel can sing. What a meeting we've got. Praise God. While we were singing so wonderfully and praising God about the joy, the happiness, the peace, the burdens gone, and eternity with the Lord, I was thinking of some years ago when I was ministering in Siberia. God led me to go out to Siberia about 20 years ago, just as the Iron Curtain was coming down. I was one of the first ones, our team, we were about 8 or 10 of us, that went there to the capital of Siberia, a city by the name of Irkutsk, on a lake by call, the deepest lake in the world, way, way out into Siberia. We were preaching, and I was preaching in a building called the Circus. They have these big buildings in the cities in Russia, and they use them for circuses and for shows and those sort of things. They call it that. And there was a circus going on from one of the Muslim countries. I don't remember which one it was, but in the south of Russia, in the Soviet Union, there's several of them, Uzbekistan and some of these other stands. I don't remember which one it was, but they had a large circus going, wonderful. And so we went so we could invite them all to stay for the meeting immediately after the circus. And they stayed. And I never forget it. Never. At the end of the service, the leader, the star of the circus was a young lady that performed incredibly. Crying, she came to me and to us at the end of the circus, at the end of the service, and said, "I have never heard this. Never. Never heard of Jesus. Never." She said, "Would you," she begged me, "would you come to our country? And would you come and tell us, I've never heard this, never heard it. Don't know anything about it." Said, we've never heard. "Would you please come and tell us? We never heard of Jesus, never heard of heaven, never heard anything like this." I thought as we were singing, I can't tell you, there's millions of people tonight in that part of the world that have never heard. Millions and millions that have never heard. Millions. And tonight, the whole world is thinking of the great upset in Egypt. As 1 million people are out on the streets of Cairo and yelling and screaming for freedom, I thought of the shaking that's going on in the Islamic world. There's 80 million people in the country of Egypt. 40 million of them live on $2 or less a day. One half of them. I don't know. The gospel has been preached there, but how many of them they've never heard, I don't know. But it's the Islamic world is shaking tonight. And there's millions of them that need to hear and are going to hear. And I just want to read to you, before I go any further, the words of Jesus. Two things. In Matthew 24:14, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And this gospel will be preached in all of the world to all nations, and then the end will come. And this part of the world is the most without the gospel, the most of any part of the world is the Muslim world, the Islamic world. And there's a stirring going on. And I've been praying lately, God, and I know He's going to do it, open these doors that the gospel will get into this part of the world. How it's going to happen, I don't know. But we're so at the end tonight, people. It's such a tremendous hour. And God is going to do tremendous things in this hour. Trouble, great trouble coming to the world, coming to America, coming to this city. But along with the trouble is going to come a flash and an opportunity to preach the gospel quickly to places that has never had it before. This doors will quickly open, and for those that are ready to be already filled with the Spirit, ready to go, the opportunities will be incredible. It's quick. It's going to happen fast. And God is laying the getting the whole world ready. And before this final destruction comes, there's going to be a revival, as your pastor said. There's going to be an opportunity, and it's going to be for us right here in this city. While we have freedom, while we have the opportunity, this is the most dramatic hour of human history until this moment. Never been a time like it. Never. Nor will there be. And it's up to us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is so crucial this moment in time. And God in heaven has prepared you and prepared us in this place, in this country, that we would be His instruments at this moment in time. We have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This church is here for this hour in this city. God is getting us ready, and He wants us to forget about ourselves and forget about these things that are going to pass away and get the vision that God is going to do tremendous things with His people that are ready in this last hour. It's going to be incredible. And if people are not aware of the crucialness of this moment in time. And when the door opens, we've got to be ready to go in it. Ready with the Holy Spirit, filled with God, filled with His Spirit, filled with His Word, full of faith, ready to step in when the opportunity comes to us. Jesus said in Luke 21:24, speaking of the Jews, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Wilbur Smith, Billy Graham said he was of the last generation. He was of a generation ago. Said he's the greatest theologian of our day. I always thought he was as well. And he said this probably is the most important verse and the greatest verse in the New Testament of prophetic. This is it. This sizes it up. Jerusalem will be trodden down till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And you know, the state of Israel came into existence in May 14, 1948. All of a sudden, David Ben-Gurion, a little halo of hair around his head, stood out in Tel Aviv and announced, "A nation is born, the nation of Israel." And a nation was born in May 14, 1948, and that is, Billy Graham said, and all, every prophetic student knows that, in 2,500 years since the Jews had had a nation of their own, since Daniel was a boy. When Daniel was a boy and went captive by Nebuchadnezzar at 17 approximately, that nation has never been outside of Gentile rule until this hour. All of this never happened before in all the history of the world, that a nation gone for 2,500 years comes back with their language. And they were back in 48. And then in 1967, June War, in 67, with Moshe Dayan, Jerusalem fell back to the Jews. Jesus said it will be in the hands of the Gentiles until our day is over. But the Jews said, we will give the Temple Mount, we will preserve that for the Arabs because of the Mosque of Omer that is there on the Temple Mount. So one little spot in Jerusalem is held by the Gentiles while we preach the gospel to the rest of the world. And now the world is all talking about Jerusalem, and the Jews won't give it up. And the Arab world are saying, we have to have that as our capital, Palestine, the Palestinians. We have to have that. And the contention of the world is on that. And the reason is that one part of Jerusalem is so, and God is letting the Muslims hold it while we preach the gospel to the ends, because when they leave that, it's all over, folks. But God, and that's how close we are to the end. It's all over. People have no idea the drama of this moment in history. And things aren't going to be like you think they're going to just go on like this forever and ever. No. We're that close to the end. And that's how God is keeping that, because he said when that's over, it's over for the Gentile world. And tremendous book of Revelation describes what's going to take place in this world. People, now the next thing in the news, and I'll hurry to just come to the message of what God is saying to us, is the whole world is talking about Iran getting the bomb. That's in the news. Why? How can Israel stop them? How can we stop them? America is trying to get our allies. Stop them. Stop them. Don't let Iran get the bomb. Because with that bomb, they can destroy the nation of Israel. People have no idea the power of destruction there is in the nations of the world today. In 1945, in August the 6th, a plane by the name of Enola Gay, it was flying over Hiroshima, and at 8:43 in the morning, and the guards and the people in the towers, the watchmen in the tower said, this is nothing, it's just a single plane or so, and they never bomb us with a plane. So no sirens went out, no warnings, nothing to this large city of over 100,000 people, the size of Providence. And nobody thought a thing. And at 8:43, the bomb was released on that city. And a bomb of fire 5 miles across, a round ball of fire 5 miles wide, and a column of smoke went into the heavens 15 miles straight up, fulfilling Joel's prophecy, pillars of smoke. Never been anything like it in the world. Never, ever before. A pillar of smoke straight up 15 miles high and 5 miles of fire. And in one instant, 78,000 people went into eternity instantly. 78,000. It melted people. They melted. And the folks way on the border, their eyes were that way, and the animals, their eyes melted. It was a power, the bomb was something like 20,000 tons of TNT. One atom bomb was equal to 20,000 tons of TNT released like that. 100,000 people died. 2 days later, we dropped a slightly different atom bomb on Nagasaki on August the 8th, and 72,000 people died instantly. 100,000 died. Now, that was a little atom bomb. Today, we build hydrogen bombs. A hydrogen bomb would be equal to 20 million tons of TNT. Hydrogen is a kiloton, and hydrogen bombs are megatons, millions of tons, millions of tons. We have enough bombs in America and Russia to destroy the world, the whole world. 7 would take England off the face of the earth. People have no idea. Russia has enough to destroy the world. They did a few years ago, had 30,000 more or less, and we have about that. They had about the same number. Hydrogen bomb. One bomb, 20 million tons of TNT going up in a second. One bomb could take Manhattan Island, could kill a million. Just one bomb could take 1 million people right out of the world. Now, we don't want Iran to get the bomb. So many nations have it. And this is, God is holding it all back so that we can get the gospel out. At some point in time, they'll be released. Will they use them? We used it. They'll use it, of course. When the circumstances come right, it will be. This is hanging over the world. And we're acting like it's going to go on like it's like Noah's day. He said it's going to be just like that. They won't know till it happens, till it hits. Now, what I'm saying, all of that is for this. We've got a little piece of time to get the gospel to the rest of the world. And this America is where they ought to go. And New York City, this church, thank God, Pastor, for the missionary vision that goes out of Times Square Church to the ends of the earth. Thank God for it. Thank God for the folks that go on these mission trips. But we got to do more. We can do more. It's just been overwhelming me when I think of people that have never heard. And we have it. And we shout and say, which is wonderful. No hope. Never seen it. I remember in Siberia, another time we were giving out Bibles and I preached to a crowd. It was something like this, large auditorium, and I preached several hundreds of people, about like this much here. And I gave the invitation and everybody stood up. I said, this is a mistake. You're never preaching. You're only supposed to get a handful of responding. I told them all to sit down and I preached the gospel again. And I said, I want you to think about what I'm saying. Don't stand up unless you mean it. And I said, those who would like to accept Jesus Christ, stand up. And almost the same number, hundreds, stood up. What a prayer meeting. What a thing. So we gave out Bibles. And one lady, I'll never forget her, bless her heart, she came up and we were giving out New Testaments in Russian. And she said, that's not a Bible. I said, yeah, it's the New Testament. She didn't know Testament. She had never heard of it, didn't know. She said, no, I saw a Bible one time. I saw one, and it's a bigger book than that. Bless her heart. Can you imagine that? Yeah, I saw one. Never, I saw one, and I want a bigger book. I told someone, get her a whole Bible. Right. But you know, they're dying without it. We have so much. This is such an opportunity, such an hour in human history. We're blessed. The 40 million Egyptians living on $2 a day and less. That's the most. $2 and less. Half of them. Half of the nation. No wonder they're out in the streets. No wonder. But the God, I don't know how, but this door is going to open. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in every nation. In Turkey, where all the seven churches of Revelation are, I'm praying for Turkey. Because Paul ministered there, the gospel went there to this part of the world. Folks, this awesome hour we're living in, and when the world is, this bomb will spread and spread and spread, and many nations will get it, and at the right time, it will be released. Yes, and it is awesome. This is in the hands hands of wicked people. Wicked people are having the power to destroy nations and cities in an flash. We have guided missiles now that can take these bombs anywhere in minutes. Just, it's incredible what's going on while the church is not awake. Wake, church, this is our hour. Church, listen to me. This is our moment. This is our time to spread the gospel to everywhere we can. Let's go with it. Don't say we can't. Don't say I can't. Don't say, yes, God Almighty can give you the means and can give you the will. And if you go on these mission trips, go yourself. Spread it here in the town. Thank God for this church. Thank God for the signs on the subway. Let's do everything in our power to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. This is a call to action. It's not enough to talk. It's not enough to talk about it. Let's do it. Let's meet the challenge of the hour. Let's rise to the challenge and say, away with Satan. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the means. We are going to do it. Now we have the world. The intelligence of the world is incredible. What we can do. Just the other day, someone, the Jerusalem Post, I take their magazine, the Christian edition, and they call me from Jerusalem just to talk to me about do I like the magazine. You know, they're talking from Jerusalem to me like they're next door. Well, do you like it? You're getting it all right? Is everything okay? Just thought I'd speak to you this morning. They're in Jerusalem and I'm over here, you know. Usually when you call to get information, you get somebody in India. Have you ever noticed that? Because they work for less money than the Americans, so they get your information, goes to India, you know, and they'll tell you whatever you're looking for. So they've got the books there. So, you know, it's the world has shrunk. It is incredible, the world knowledge and the ability to spread this gospel, the power, the ability. The world is moving so fast. Folks, let's not get caught up in the world. Let's get eternity in our focus that heaven is coming and Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's given us a little time. He can come any time, but he's given us a little space of time. When I think of Jerusalem and I think of the prophecy and how God in his divine wisdom has just let that stay there so we can preach the gospel to the rest of the world. He's giving us the means. He's given us the intelligence. He's given us the travel ability. We've got the ability. Let's ask God to give us his vision that we don't get caught up with the wrong stuff. It's eternity that matters. It's the what's going to happen to this world. Something awesome is coming. It's coming to this city. Two things are going to happen, a revival and awesome destruction. And I want to be ready. And when the doors open, let's go in. Right now, we have opportunity. Let's use it. Let's go with it. Let's don't just talk, do it. Thank God for those that go. For those that are going, more of us need to go. All of us need to go. Everybody needs to catch the vision. This is our moment. God, in his divine wisdom, saved this place for this hour and raised you up for this hour, this most challenging moment in all of history. God brought you here. Don't turn away. Don't turn a deaf ear. Don't say no. Listen to the Holy Spirit and get full of God's Spirit. And let's get full of the Word. And let's go out and let's take the place for God in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Pastor, bring us down to seek God tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Brother Crandall and I haven't spoken, but these are the very words that were on my heart today in speaking to our senior staff here at Times Square Church. The very same thing, the opportunity is presenting itself. And you know, as Brother Crandall, as you were speaking tonight, I was thinking of something. You know, the scripture says the gospel will go into the whole world. And a revival in New York City the whole world is here. And people can go home to countries that we can't get into. And the Lord can do something incredible if we will have the courage to begin to speak and to believe the Lord. I had a picture come into my mind a week ago in prayer. And in that, what the Lord showed me, I saw the steps of a church somewhere, I think it's on Madison Avenue, somewhere close to Central Park West. And I saw somebody standing on the steps. And I knew in my heart that there was turmoil in the city of some sort, or at least the rising of fear among people. And this was just an ordinary person, not a preacher, just an ordinary person, a very sensible person, just telling this crowd, I want to tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. God is my strength and where he brought me from. It was very much like a Sunday night testimony. And there had to be 60 or 70 people standing in a semicircle that were listening. And the Lord showed me that he's going to begin to fill the mouths of his people. And there's going to be a moment, there's going to be a window in New York City of mercy where people are going to be willing to listen. And that's coming on us. I don't know if it's much more than a week away, folks. I'm not kidding you. We're there now. It's just a moment that's coming. And our prayer as elders and pastors is, God, give us 2 years, if that's possible, that the whole city can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's a moment. And all that's required of us is a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the willingness to say, yes, God, when that prompting comes into your heart. You know, the Lord knows if somebody's passing by on the street that's crying out for truth. And you may have this sudden impulse come on you just to tell your testimony, not even thinking anybody's listening. Say, I want to just tell you what Jesus has done for me. Whoever is looking for God right now, I want you to know that he's been looking for you. And you just simply have the courage to speak. It's that simple. Just simply to obey God. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon these people, and they went out into the marketplace, and they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I believe as the church started, the church is going to finish. We're not going out with a whimper. We're going out with the glory of God in our soul. And as they began to speak with this unction of God upon them, people's hearts were moved, and they somehow had a sense that this was the supernatural power of God, and they turned immediately from virtual insanity, spiritually speaking, to a contrite heart before God, and they said, what must we do? We need this power of God. They saw people who should be terrified, because this was the crowd that had just crucified Christ, and they were calling for blood of all of his followers. And they knew that, and suddenly 120 people burst right into the midst. There's 3,000 people there, folks, and suddenly 120 people burst into their midst, completely unafraid, filled with a passionate love of God for their souls, and they knew it. And they must have said in their hearts, our religion never brought us anything like this. Our religion has just made us evil. It's just made us want to hurt people. It's made us angry when people don't agree with us. But here are a people who have literally brought themselves into our grasp, and it's within our power to do them great harm, but all they are filled with is a divine love for us. And suddenly the tide has turned. And folks, we have more power than we realize as believers in Jesus Christ. Somewhere along the line, we bought the lie that we're just a marginal little part of society that just have a certain opinion about God. When we really have more power than we heard about tonight in us. The God who created the universe. Yes, a neutron bomb can destroy a city, but God created the universe with one word out of his mouth. And that's who's in us. That's the God who resides. There's a lot more power inside of us than all of these other things. And we've got to get to the point of understanding that we're not on the short end of the stick. We have the power of God within us, and when God speaks, we must speak. When God moves us, we must move. And as we begin to do that, we're going to see again wonderful things being done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm willing to believe. I already believe it. It's not willing to believe it. I believe it. I'm willing to go with it. Whatever God asks me to do, I'm going to do. Really, folks, I've lived a life where I've seen God do the miraculous all through it. I'm not willing to stop now. And I don't see this as a very big problem in New York City. It's actually quite a small problem to God to turn this city. All it requires is the presence of God and somebody who's willing to define to the people what it is that they're feeling. When Jonah walked through Nineveh, the people were already feeling something. It just required somebody to tell them what it was that they were feeling. And Jonah walked through speaking for the Lord God of his time, and 120,000 people found the mercy of God in their generation. Praise be to God. You don't need a diploma. You don't need a degree. You don't need any of the things that people have tried to tell this generation that you need. You need the Spirit of God. You need a basic knowledge of what the cross is all about. And you start with that and go with it. Hallelujah. You can say, like the blind man, I don't know these things you're trying to tell me, but this one thing I do know, I once was blind and now I see. And folks, that's enough. I once was bound and now I'm free. I once was depressed, but now I have hope. I once didn't know where I was going, but now I know. And I know it because of this man called Jesus Christ. You'll be shocked at how people will so suddenly turn and begin to understand, because their hearts have been crying for truth. It's not just in foreign countries of the world. It's happening here in New York City. There are even people here tonight that your heart is crying. That's why you've come here tonight. There's something in you that is saying, I need more than I have. I need to know why I live. I need to know where I'm going. Why am I on the earth? What is this earth about? How does my life fit? Your life fits because Jesus Christ created you in his image and died on a cross for you, gave his life so that you may have life. All that's required of you is that you open your heart and say, Jesus, Son of the living God, I thank you for dying for me. Come into my life tonight and be my Lord and be my Savior. That is what is required of you. When you pray that prayer, Jesus says he will come in. He will give you the power to be a different person than you are today. And you'll have an experience with God that will cause you to want to tell others what he has done for you. Praise be to God. Now tonight, the Lord is simply looking for people who are willing. Willing. I remember when I was a young Christian, I heard messages not quite the same as this tonight, but very similar to it. I had no speaking ability. I had very little talent, and I really didn't like people very much. I have to be honest about it. Matter of fact, I didn't like them a whole lot. But I had come to Christ, and I had enough of a mind to know that there was a calling in this and something that God was requiring of me. And even though it looked impossible, when these types of a moment would come, I would get out of my seat and I would go forward. And oftentimes I would just cry in the presence of God. I knew it was impossible unless God would do it. But I can tell you tonight, he has done it. He took my little bag lunch that I brought to him, and he's fed a lot of people with it. And he'll do that for you tonight. The issue is just that you bring it to him. It's not so much that you even have this great amount of faith at this moment, but you have enough faith to bring what you have and something inside that just says, I know that God can multiply it, and he will multiply it. He will. You don't have to be forever on the receiving or dependent side, in a sense, of the gospel. You don't always have to be coming to church just to look for some new thing that you need in your own life, as wonderful as that may be, and God will meet that. But we're coming in to say, God, just thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for where you've taken me. Thank you for the strength you're giving me. Thank you for opening my mouth, God, in impossible places and helping me to tell other people about who you are and what you're willing to do. Thank you for taking this heart of stone and changing it and giving me an ability to care about other people. God, thank you, Lord, for helping me to forgive my enemies and love people I used to hate. And God, for having compassion where I could just usually pass by and not care. Help me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength to start to give some of the things that I have held so dearly in my life for so many years and letting them go for the sake of others and for your kingdom. Thank you, God, for changing my heart, for making me a different person. If all you can do in the days ahead is stand on the steps of some abandoned old church somewhere and say, look, I used to be angry, but now God is changing me. I used to not be a good father, but God's helping me to do that. And folks, I'd stop and listen to you if you were speaking like that. I'd listen to you. Folks, I'd listen to an honest man, an honest woman who's not got it all together. You're not a Rhodes Scholar preacher, but you have a living relationship with God. I'd listen to you. I'd stop in the street and give you a moment. I don't like a lot of street preaching that goes on, Because a lot of the people out there are just railers. They're just angry people that want to yell at people on the street. They don't have a passion and a compassion for souls. Now, a few do, but many don't. Many don't. They're just obnoxious. It's hard to listen to them when you're walking by. They're just condemning and railing. I know the difference. But I was walking through London one time, the city of London, and a man literally stopped me in my tracks. I was walking with my wife, and I heard somebody preaching. You get used to it, and you almost, I hate to say it, but you ignore it because so much of it is just so not in the Holy Ghost. But this man literally riveted me in the street. And I stopped, and he said, "Where's that voice coming from?" And I walked over, and I stood by a fence, and I listened to him. I said, "Now there's a man filled with the Spirit of God." He had a passion for the people he was preaching to. He was speaking from his heart, not from some memorized text. And he was drawing and wooing people to a loving Savior, not condemning them using the Scriptures. Oh, hallelujah. That's what God is going to do. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God, for this word tonight. Lord, give us the courage to respond. Lord, give us the courage to throw our lot in, oh God, with those that are going to live for Christ in this generation. Help us, mighty God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now, tonight I want to give an altar call, which means you get out of your seat and come to the front of the sanctuary if you want to live for Jesus. That's first and foremost. And secondly, if you're just among those that are here saying, "I'm fearful, I don't have a lot of confidence in myself or even in my ability to speak to other people, but if you need me, I'm going." It's that profound. God, you're not making any great promises to God, but just, "Lord, if you need me, count me in. And move my heart to speak. If there's somebody on the street that's crying, help me to go to them. And Lord, just bring increase as I walk with you every day in faith. Just give me the courage to speak, Lord. Just give me the courage to do what you ask me to do." You'd be amazed where you find yourself. I prayed that prayer. I found myself in a Muslim Hindu prison in South America one day thinking, "How did I ever get here?" And I remember the altar when I said, "Lord, here am I, take me." And I hear I'm preaching to Hindus and Muslims, and they're starting to weep and cry. And a translator next to me said, "They've never heard this before. They've never heard it. These are men in prison, many of them for no crime whatsoever because there was very little law in that particular country. And I was only allowed to speak because we had brought them in flour and oil and rice. And I was given 15 minutes. And in 15 minutes, that entire, it wasn't a huge group. I don't know, maybe 100 or so men. But I think it's virtually everybody but one gave their lives to Jesus Christ in that room today. And I was as stunned as they were. But the Lord takes the little bit we give him and he multiplies it. And he uses it for his glory. And if you would have the courage, and don't count yourself out, you have the same Spirit of God that every saint ever before you has ever had. Everyone in the Bible was right in the place where you are tonight. They had to make a decision. It's a choice to go forward and to let God be glorified through your life. It's a choice. And all you have to do is open your mouth and you'll see the Holy Spirit begin to fill it. When I first started to preach, I was so scared. I'd be in the bathroom. I'd be sick, big time sick. I'm telling you, while they're introducing me, I'd get up. I'd be so scared, and I'd open. I did it all by faith, and I'd open my mouth, and God would come. Hallelujah! And suddenly I'm speaking, and it's just a river that's just flowing, and it's just. I'm living in dread that the tap is going to turn off any moment, but it never turned off. And people would be challenged and changed, and I'd be stunned when it was all over because I had an inner knowledge. It was nothing of me. It was all of Jesus Christ. Just the willingness to stand. I've been this journey. I know what this is about. More comfortable now because I've done this for a while, but I never get over the awe of the privilege of standing and speaking on God's behalf. Never want to lose the miracle of it. That incredible journey that should never end. We should never reach a place where we say we've arrived or this is far enough. We should always be growing and growing and moving forward. Like Paul said, "I've not reached that place. that I know that God could take me to, but I'm moving towards it. Oh, folks, it can't be church as usual anymore. Those days are done now. We've got to get up and move forward in this. And if it's in your heart tonight, I'm going to ask you as we worship for a few moments to come to the front of this sanctuary, and then Pastor Crandall is going to come again and pray for you. Up in the balcony, you can go to either exit in the main sanctuary. You can come forward. Let's stand now, and please do that. Just, here am I, Lord. I'll go.
Let's lift our hands up to the Lord tonight, all over this building. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you've chosen us for this hour. We thank you for this people. God, we thank you for everyone standing here. Father, we give ourselves to you tonight. Hallelujah. God, we pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, that we may be totally yielded to you. God, we ask you to bless this people. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, we ask you to direct them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank him tonight because he hears us when we call. Thank him tonight. He hears you. He sees you. He knows it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We ask God to direct you, to give yourself over to him. He'll speak to you to save your neighbors, save your family, to help you to pray for folks, to give you a burden, to give you vision. Hallelujah. And when you can't go yourself, send somebody, help somebody. Get involved and let the Holy Spirit fill you. Hallelujah. God, let us be a Spirit-filled people. Lead us, guide us. God, fill us in our homes. Now bless the homes of these people. Bless their families. We ask you, God, to bless them at work. Use them where they least expect it. Speak to this people, God. We ask you to give us your vision. Give us insight to you. Hallelujah. We're not fighting this battle by ourselves or in ourselves or by our own strength. We're fighting it with your strength, being led by the Spirit. We pray for the mission trips. We pray for those that are going on these trips, God. We ask you to anoint them. Send more. Open other doors. God, let's tear down the barriers in our minds and our hearts, and let us believe you for what you want to do. God, let us believe for the impossible. Let us believe for the impossible. Don't let us be cowed down by Satan or worry or fear, or that we can't, because God, you are able. We ask you to send this city the greatest revival we've ever seen. We ask you, God, to shake this city. We ask you, God, tonight, stir up your people. Help us to be a part of the answer. Hallelujah. God, help us to be listening in the smallest things, to listen to you in the little things, to listen to you when you say small things to us, not to count anything too small or anything too big. You're our God. God, bless the church. Bless the elders. Bless the pastors. Bless the choir. And God, bless every department. And God, give us your vision. Tear down every wall. And God, don't let us limit you. Don't let us limit you. Hallelujah. God, we ask you tonight to send New York City the greatest revival we've ever seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Send revival. Use the youth. Stir up the youth. Touch our young people. Touch our seniors. Touch the elderly. Touch the children. God bless our children. Hallelujah. 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 Let's thank him tonight. Thank you for tonight. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now we pray for all the churches where the gospel is preached. God, invade this city. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, let your power be on the streets. Do the unusual. And may you get the glory and the credit. Hallelujah. And God, bless our people as they go to the ends of the earth. Bring them into this church from all over the world. and fill them with your Spirit and send them back. And God, we pray, hallelujah, don't let us limit you or say what you can do and what you can't do. God, we ask you tonight to speak. Hallelujah. 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 Give us such passion. Give us passion for the lost. Give us your vision. Father, give us your vision. Give us your love. Give us your passion. Give us your passion and your love and your concern. And God, we give you the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, God, before we ever see it. In the name of, let's give him a praise offering tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I want to encourage you this evening. Think about this one thought. You're no different than the first church in the book of Acts. They were ordinary people like you and me. Some had a good background, some had a bad one. Some were young, some were old. They were just ordinary people. And the Lord told them, he said, now just stay still in my presence until I give you the power. So can we take 5-10 minutes at the most, and can we just tarry in his presence right now? And I want, we're going to worship softly, and as we do, if you can speak in tongues, I'd like you to do that, to pray in tongues. And just in the Spirit, just pray. Now just stay at the same place as everyone else in your volume level, but lift your hands, will you, right now? And just pray. Everybody just pray. Ask God to give you the power. Ask him for power. That's what you need to ask for, just power. Lord, just fill me with your Spirit. God, I will go, but I need the power of the Holy Ghost upon me. Lord, you promised power. Lord, we dare not attempt this without your power. Lord, it would fall flat. It would be nothing to it, Lord. We have to be moved upon. We have to be led. We have to be strengthened by the power of your Holy Spirit within us. My God, do the miraculous. Fill us with your power tonight, oh God. Fill us, Lord, in this church. Lord, we don't want to walk in the flesh. We don't want to walk in our own strength. We don't want to be led by our own reasoning. We yield to you, Lord. We yield to you. We say to you, Holy Spirit, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You have come in God's name, and we open the gates of our heart, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to invade this physical temple of our body. Invade our minds, invade our hearts, invade our hands, invade our feet, invade our loins, Lord. Invade every part of our body. God, govern us, Lord. Guide us, lead us. Let us be your temple in the earth, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do this without you, Holy Spirit. And you yourself said, Jesus, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And Lord, we're asking. We're asking for the right reason tonight. We're asking that we might be witnesses, Lord, of you and your power in this city. So Lord, we're asking that you fill us, oh God, tonight, anew and afresh, oh God. Those who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, fill them with the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord God Almighty, for your name's sake and for your glory, that this city may know you, Lord. Fill your church with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, don't you be afraid to cry out. Don't you be afraid to lift your voice tonight. Every voice lifted up to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lord, we ask that as we lift our voices to you throughout our day in this city, Lord, it be a sweet sound to you, Lord. That we lift our voices in testimony of what you have done. We lift our voices in praise to who you are. We lift our voices unashamed that you are the Lord of our lives and our Savior. We lift our voices in compassion for those who don't know you. We lift our voices in joy for the future that you have given to us. Oh God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty. As Moses prayed, if you don't go with us, it's really pointless to go. You have to go with us. It's all that makes us different from everyone else in the earth, is your presence, Lord. your presence, God. Lead us, God. Give us a largeness of heart in this church. Draw us, the scripture says, and we will run after you, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit of the living God, draw us. Draw us as a congregation, Lord, into your presence. Draw us into the prayer closet. Draw us, oh God, into your word. Draw us out to lost humanity. Draw us, Holy Spirit. Draw us, oh God. And you will never ask us to do anything that you don't give us the power to do, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this. Draw us out of sin and into a life separated unto God. Draw us away from things we shouldn't be doing, Lord, into things that we should be. Jesus, purify us as a people, oh God. Cause us to be set apart from this world. Father, we thank you. Make us a sweet song in the city, Lord. Don't let the song end here tonight, but let it go into the subways, God, and onto the streets, Lord, and into our workplace. As we pass by the desks of people, may they know that there is a song in us, Lord, that can't be found anywhere in the world. In every interaction and all that we do, Lord, Jesus, show your glory through us, oh God. Let your presence, let your eyes look through us. Lord, as we just look upon people, as we walk to a counter and buy something, may they see you, Jesus. You live within these vessels. Take our eyes, oh God, and take our voices, Lord, and God, help us to give way to you. The one who is greater within us, Lord, help us to give way to this life of Christ inside. Father, we thank you for this. Help us to be aware of your presence every moment of our day. Lord, bring a harvest. Bring a harvest, oh God, into your kingdom, Father. Bless every church in this city, Lord. My God Almighty, bless every Christian with courage, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the body of Christ in New York City tonight. God Almighty, every denomination, every congregation, every nationality. Lord Jesus, give strength, oh God. Give strength to your people throughout the city. Give sudden vision. Wake everybody up in the middle of the night and begin to speak to your people, oh God. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that our prayers are not in vain tonight. We're standing at your throne, Lord, by invitation. You've told us to come to find help in our time of need. Lord, it's our time of need. It's the time of this city's need, Lord. We come to you for help. We come on not our own behalf only, but the behalf of all the Christian people in this city. Oh, Jesus, wake this army up. Wake this mighty army up in New York City, oh God. Lord, wake up the people of this city, Father. God, cause prayer meetings to begin to abound, Lord. If it's even just two or three in homes, Lord, let it begin, oh Jesus. Let people just take 10 minutes of their day and start to pray. Cause prayer in our offices, Lord. Everywhere we go, Lord, let there be prayer. Jesus, Son of God, we call out to you for mercy for New York City. Lord, let it never be said of you that somebody was calling out and you wouldn't come. Let heaven never record that of you, Lord. God, we're crying out. We're standing in the gap tonight. We're willing to speak. We're willing to go, Lord. We're willing to do what you ask us to do, God. I'll do anything you ask of me, Lord, in this city. But, oh, God, we stand in that gap. Lord, as you looked one time in Ezekiel's day and couldn't find anybody, let that not be said in New York City, that you couldn't find somebody to stand in the gap. Lord, we stand here tonight. We stand here, God. We stand in our homes. We stand in our workplaces, Lord. We stand in the subway. We stand, oh God, ready to speak. We stand, Lord, on behalf of a city, Lord, that needs your mercy. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, Son of God. Lord, do something that will astound us. Do something that will cause us to dance on Broadway. God Almighty, do something, Lord, so profound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Now, beloved, don't let your seeking of God end at this altar. When you go home tonight, take time to pray. You know, it doesn't have to be long. It just has to be real. It can be 5 minutes. And don't get stuck in this thing that if you don't pray for 55 minutes, it's not God. No, 5 minutes in the Holy Ghost is just give that. Give some quality time to the Lord. And if you have a friend that you can call and pray with, that really helps sometimes. If you find it hard to pray alone, just find somebody that you can call and two of you can pray together. In the morning before you go to work, or maybe before you go to bed at night, just find somebody you can you can call. And let's just begin a prayer meeting that's not going to stop until Jesus comes. Lord, you revived this city with prayer one time before. We're asking you to do it again, Lord. Lord, you're not a respecter of persons. You didn't respect that generation any more than us, Lord. They were just as wicked and evil as this one. But God, you came. You came because somebody prayed. We ask you to do it again, Lord, and sweep this city with mercy, God. Let the fire of God come before the fire of judgment. Father, we thank you for this, Lord. We bless you. We praise you tonight. We exalt you, Lord Jesus Christ. I commission these people tonight to go into the four corners of this city and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Speak the word of God with boldness. Father, do the miraculous. Let us not be ashamed of our God. We thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God.